super pumped about J.J. Watt coming to the Valley. Congrats to Steve and Cliff. You know, obviously a huge personality coming on board, but a great football player. And you add that into a team that's already on the right path and going in the right direction. I am super excited to welcome him to the Valley and just see where that takes the Cardinals every Sunday. I know I'll be excited and parking my rear right in front of the TV and watching it very closely, as I always do.
Troy Lovello, before the Diamondbacks played their Cactus League game today, I believe that was unprompted too. But before I take any questions, just want to let everyone know I want to welcome J.J. Watt into town. It's been that kind of a day, and you know, with all due respect to the Diamondbacks who had their Cactus League opener yesterday, Zach Gallen threw a couple of innings. With all due respect to the Suns, who had another very productive weekend, winning Friday night in Chicago, winning Sunday last night against Minnesota. Devin Booker named Western Conference Player of the Week again, second time in the last two or three weeks. When you find out at 10:45 that J.J. Watt has chosen the Arizona Cardinals as his next team, it's like an eclipse, man. It just kind of blots everything else out. And all of a sudden, it just becomes, well, there's our day right there. Everybody is going to go crazy over this.
Uh-huh. Rightfully so.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so. I mean, look, the Cardinals just signed J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Three-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's one of the greatest defensive players that's ever played. Like, if you can't get excited about this, then, you know, you might not be a Cardinal fan. You might not be.
You're right.
Now, you may look for reasons to not like it because you're just like, you're prone to believe that good things just don't happen here. There's like, J.J. Watt's not going to come here, have 15 sacks and dominate the league and win Defensive Player of the Year here. Like, it's not going to happen.
The mentality of the Arizona sports fans. Why can't we have pretty things?
Well, Shaquille O'Neal came here and put his ring finger up and he didn't give us a ring. Well,
that was the high point of the Shaquille O'Neal era, like, with the Phoenix Suns, when he pointed to his ring in that suite that night. That was as good as it got.
You're prone to getting these players. Brett Hull. You're prone to getting these players. Okay. So you're just automatically like, there's no way he's going to give you 15 sacks and be one of the best defensive players in the league. He's had injuries and he's 31, and it just does, good things don't happen to us. Like, that's what you're thinking.
Sure.
Because you've been down that road in every single one of these sports. You've been down that road. Hey, the Diamondbacks got Madison Bumgarner. Yeah, but he couldn't get anybody out last year. But he got won three World Series championships. He won three of them. He's Mad Bum.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get anybody out.
Yeah.
You're prone to having these guys come here, Emmett Smith, Edgerrin James, with the belief that they're going to fail. Like, all these guys are going to, because that's what happens. A lot of them fail.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more fail than succeed. So your mindset is he's going to do what Shaq did and what Emmett Smith did and what Madison Bumgarner did and what... There's a ton of examples I could go through.
Sure, sure. That is, I'm sure, one of the many reactions people had when the news came down, right? I mean, you immediately start looking for the flaws. Oh, he's too expensive. Oh, he gets hurt all the time. Oh, this, oh, that. But at its core, there's also an appreciation. I'd say the first thing, when I saw the news, very first thing I did, I went to J.J. Watt's Twitter account. I made sure it was his verified Twitter account and somebody wasn't playing a Photoshop trick on me. That was number one. I looked for the blue check. As soon as I saw the picture of him in the Cardinals t-shirt, I'm like, where's the blue check? Got to see the blue check. Oh, there it is. Wow, this is really happening. My second reaction was then to react to the idea of Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt together on the same defense and what kind of havoc those two guys could wreck on another team, assuming they're healthy. The third reaction, and this is something we've talked a lot about today, is wondering what it meant for guys like Fitz and Patrick Peterson. And then the fourth, somewhere along the line, was exactly what you're talking about, was sort of that Arizona born and bred, oh man, what a risky sign this is. Oh, he's hurt all the time. He misses a bunch of games. It's a lot of money.
We haven't been burned on every one of these.
Of course not.
How about when the Diamondbacks signed Randy Johnson?
It was worth every dime.
Three. How many Cy Young Awards did he win here?
Four.
And a World Series.
Steve Nash, worth every dime.
Right. Two-time MVP. Took him to the Western Conference Finals.
Sure.
And he was an older player who Dallas didn't want to pay the money to. Yep. They didn't want to give him 6 years.
Not that there was a ton of risk, but so far, Chris Paul, worth everything.
So you don't always get burned, but you've been burned enough to be hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
You've been burned enough to be like, okay. But, man, it should be an exciting day. I mean, the Cardinals, like that, like, there was a lot of teams that wanted J.J. Watt. A lot of teams wanted him. The Cardinals got him.
Yeah.
Lots of different reasons. I mean, he knows Vance Joseph. He wanted to play on grass. He wanted to be in warm weather. He likes Chandler Jones a lot. They get along really well. He wants to play besides him. He did get a good contract offer, but as I reported earlier today, this was not the most money he was offered. The Cleveland Browns and the Indianapolis Colts each offered more money to J.J. Watt than the Cardinals did. And the Tennessee Titans had a similar offer that really, you know, wasn't, you know, leaning one way or the other, better or worse. So he didn't take the Cardinals for the most money, which some people may have thought that, you know, we speculated. Could it have been because of the money? No. There were two offers that were definitely more money than Arizona's offer.
Well, certainly, I mean, the money doesn't hurt, right? It's a lot of money. And it had to be near. If Cleveland was offering him more money, it couldn't have been much more money, because I think this is the high end of what a lot of people thought that J.J. Watt was going to get. But yeah, there is that sort of doubt. You start looking for reasons to question it. And look, a part of it, honestly, doesn't have anything to do with J.J. Watt, and it doesn't have anything to do with the money. It has to do with the simple fact that two-thirds of the time, free agency signings in the NFL fail. You know? And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I'm rough guesstimate here that only one time out of three does signing a free agent in the NFL actually work the way you want it to. It is, by its very nature, a risky proposition, right? Take the names out of it. Take the money out of it. Yeah, there are teams that are going to spend a bunch of money on free agency when it opens up on March 17th. A lot of those teams will miss. A lot of those teams will just, and the guy was a good guy, and the guy came there for the right reasons, and the guy made an informed, good decision. It just didn't work out because players like that are available for a reason. My fear of J.J. Watt working out isn't really even about J.J. Watt or his age or his injuries. It's just free agency in the NFL in general.
Yeah.
Is it? It's just a terrible bet. I mean, it really is. It's a lousy bet. It's just not a...
Look, I mean, you go through this stuff. I don't think Pat Pete, you know, I don't think Pat Pete comes back now. I'm not sure, but I'm leaning towards no. Hassan Reddick's not coming back. I think that Marcus Golden will stay. I think they're going to spend on a center. They're not going to spend on a running back. Wide receiver, I don't know. You just go through this. J.J. Watt is not, he's the first, but there's going to be a free agent class that we're going to look at with five or six names, and we'll judge that class, not just J.J. Watt alone.
No, but J.J. Watt will be, I mean, he's the biggie. Kurt Warner, when he was on with us earlier.
I mean, I think I'm just surprised because I hadn't heard the Cardinals mentioned at all. Not surprised when I think about fit and I think about need. I think it's a great fit, and I'm excited to have J.J. here in the Valley. You know, not only as a player, but as a tremendous leader, impact he's had on the community that he's been in down in Houston. I'm excited to have him here, and I still think there's some stuff left in the tank, and couple it with Chandler Jones, assuming he gets healthy, and some of their other pieces. I like the fit.
The other thing I thought, man, DeAndre Hopkins, the gift that just keeps on giving. And I don't know how much influence DeAndre Hopkins had on this, but right, that's the first obvious, easy connection to make. He reached out to Watt on social media, photoshopped a picture of the two of them hugging each other in Texans uniforms, and had it altered so it looks like they're hugging each other in Cardinals uniforms as a way to appeal to him to come here. DeAndre Hopkins is the gift that just keeps on giving. Could you not go back to what was almost exactly a year ago when we found out Hopkins was coming here in the first place? I mean, just that overwhelm. Like the
list I gave you of reasons why he came here, the reasons why J.J. Watt came here, Hopkins isn't on the list. Like, I don't know what influence they had. When that writer from Houston was on with Bickley and Murata, McLean.
Mm-hmm. John McLean.
He said that they, like, their lockers weren't anywhere near each other. Like, they had respect for each other, but they weren't, like, the best of friends.
Yeah.
But they definitely had respect for each other. So, you know, the list of, you know, they recruited him real hard. He gets to play besides Chandler. He loves Kyler. You got the weather here. You got natural grass here. Vance Joseph, he knows from the time that Vance coached him in Houston. You know, gets to play with Buddha. Hopkins was not, in my opinion, one of the top five reasons why he decided to come here.
I don't doubt that. It certainly couldn't have hurt.
No, of course, of course.
It certainly couldn't
have. Because he's a great player, and you want to play with great players.
Right, right. It couldn't have hurt. Well, we're already coordinating to give away a J.J. Watt jersey. If you want to win a brand-new Arizona Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey, text the word Watt, W-A-T-T, to 620-620. That's Watt to 620-620. And you can be one of the first to have a Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey, whatever number he ends up wearing. Text and data rates may apply when it's all said and done. When we come back here on this busy Monday of the Burns and Gambo show, the Cardinals signing of J.J. Watt, clearly a big swing for the fences, and it illustrates how Steve Keim might be viewing what 2021 means for him personally in this organization. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. There's an element to all this we haven't really talked about yet as we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo show, and we, of course, welcome Gambo back in to our studios.
I'm
back! If we've been doing our job correctly, you shouldn't notice any difference. But Gambo's actually...
Did anybody notice? Well, because we would say it. I was home, and you were... Listen, we both were together for 6 months at my house.
Yep.
And then you were home at your house, and I was home at my house for a number of months.
Yep.
We came back here for like a week, but then we went back home again. And then about 3 weeks ago, you came back, and now I'm back. So now the show is... We're all back. Sarah, Jordan, me... We're all together in the studio, and honestly, if we just cut out that 1 week, it's like the first time in a year that we've been back together.
Every time we bring this up, Sarah gets the most sad look on her face. Like, y'all quit reminding me that you weren't here for the last year because she was getting kind of lonely.
I'm back, baby!
You left me with Jordan Bird for a year.
Oh, wow.
How, I mean, I never really asked this, but quickly, what was it?
That was an unsolicited shot.
Whoa. That's what I do, baby.
What was it like to have a show that usually is in front of you the entire time and then it's gone, it's not there?
I actually kind of liked it because I could control the thermostat to the temperature that I preferred.
He sure did.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You like it colder, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So do I. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want it colder right now? You want me to drop it down a notch for you?
Yeah, it's right behind him.
You want me to drop it down a notch?
I would greatly appreciate that. We'll thank you, Gambo. Wow.
Gambo's
turning it down. Look at that. It's down to
two notches.
Two notches for you. That's
I hadn't touched that thermostat today, by the way, so whatever was on, it was on.
Although it did get a little chilly with that comment from Sarah.
I know, right? Boy, there's the thermostat in here, and then there's the thermostat that is Sarah Cazell, and man, when that thermostat gets turned down in there, things get chilly.
Guys, I've been on the show for 2 years now. We know this.
That's true. We do. There is a part of this story that we haven't really talked about yet. I mean, we've hinted at it. We haven't talked about it. We've brought it up once or twice, but we haven't focused a lot on it.
Let's focus.
Okay, let's focus on what we all acknowledge to be a make it or break it year for Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, and the Cardinals organization.
Yes.
J.J. Watt is a big swing for a big fence, right?
Why not? Go for it.
Absolutely.
You won 8 games last year.
You kind of have to.
You were one game away from going to the playoffs. You had J.J. Watt. You should be at least one game better, if not more. I mean, this is, you know, so yeah, you know. Just like the Suns, you traded. I watched Ricky Rubio last night playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and my God, it looked like he was miserable. Like, the Suns went for it with Chris Paul. The Cardinals just went for it with J.J. Watt. Sometimes you just got to go for it. Like, sometimes you just, let's go for it.
Yep.
Hey, J.J. Watt wants to come play for the Cardinals. Okay, sign him. Why not? You're not losing a draft pick. You're not trading a player. It's just money.
You've got to make financial choices based off of what you're...
Well, of course, there's certain players you're not going to be able to go get
now.
Listen, I don't know what the cap... You know, we don't know exactly what the cap numbers are. We'll see when it comes out. I don't know what they are, but when they do, we'll see where that lands. But I think you have a player of that caliber wants to come play for you. And, okay, yeah. What are you going to say, no? Hey, you know, hey, J.J. Watt, yeah, you know what? I've decided I want to play for the Cardinals. Yeah, you know what? We're not going to sign you.
Oh, no. I'm saying a couple things here when I'm bringing this up. Number one, I'm saying maybe we should have thought of the Cardinals as a more potential option for J.J. Watt to land, given the level of desperation that the Cardinals might be approaching this year with. And number two, I do think the J.J. Watt signing is a reflection of the, I hate using the word desperation, but it's the only one that's coming to mind, of the desperation that the organization is going to have this season. They have to get to the postseason, right? There is a feeling that you go from 3 to 5 to 8 and that you missed out on the opportunity a year ago to get to the postseason, that if you don't get there this year, there's going to be a real serious question as to how and why and what's next. J.J. Watt and giving him $31 million is a reflection of that urgency. And that probably is probably why we should have thought of the Arizona Cardinals as a more realistic landing spot for J.J. Watt, that they're just desperate enough to need to do something like this to get to a place they haven't been in a half decade. See what I'm saying with
yeah.
that? You know,
yeah.
like maybe we should have, logically, we should have thought about the Cardinals as more of a possibility than we did.
But there's so many other moves they can make that could be big moves, right? They could have went out and got Gilmore from the Patriots. That's a big move. They got a big to get a big time cornerback, or go get Juju Smith-Schuster, or go get Aaron Jones, or go get, like, there's so many other players True. That could have been looked at as, hey, that's a big signing, because you're spending money. I mean, you know, there's only a certain amount of guys that are getting the big dollars. J.J. Watt just got big dollars.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
I guess, to me, that's one of the questions is, could this money have been utilized in another area like sure. the offense? Gamble mentioned this team was in playoff contention week 16 and week 17. They didn't lose those games because of the defense necessarily. They lost those games because the offense couldn't score points.
And more than anything, I think... for beyond J.J.'s injury history and the money that you're spending to get him, that's probably my biggest question about this. Okay, there's no doubt the Cardinals needed to do something big and bold, but was this the right allocation of those resources, given that offensively, that's where the bigger need is, right? To add a complimentary wide receiver to DeAndre Hopkins, to add to the offensive line, was J.J. Watt really what this team needed to go spend their big money on if this year truly is a make it or break it year for everybody in that organization? You know, that to me is probably the biggest question I have about this. As much as I love JJ, is this the right allocation of your limited resources given what's in front of you and what you're trying
to
do?
We don't know the resources yet. Let's wait and see what happens when the details of the contract come out, and you know, what's on the cap for this year, what's on the cap for next year, we don't know. When that comes out, we'll see. If all the money's tied into the cap this year, then yeah, then you've limited your resources. If more's pushed toward next year, we just got to see how it plays out.
Sure.
You know, because they have other needs. You know, they need to get a cornerback. They'll need to get a running back, probably on the cheap. They could look to get a wide receiver. So there's definitely other moves that they have to make. So what you're hoping is that this move, and I don't think it will, but you're hoping that this move doesn't tie up so much of your cap that you're really limited in other things you want to do.
And that would be my big fear, is that you're all tied up with this and you can't do other things that you really, truly need to do to put this team over the edge. And I just don't know if J.J. Watt is truly what you needed to do all by itself to put. Now, that being said, I like the aggressiveness. That being said, I love the fact that we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals doing this. I love the fact that the Cardinals are swinging big and potentially missing big, but at least they're trying, right? And that was something Kurt Warner said when he was on with us earlier on the show. He said, look, Keim isn't approaching this like he's scared to lose. He's trying to win, and you have to respect
that.
Yeah,
there's always a risk when you're taking a guy that's a little bit older and you know, in that free agent market, but that's the nature of the business, and I love that Steve Keim continues to look for ways to say, hey, I'm not gonna play this game scared. I'm not gonna sign guys and draft, you know, being scared. I'm gonna go out there and say, hey, I'm gonna, you know, shoot my shot, and I'm gonna take a chance to get a quality guy and a quality player in J.J. Watt that can help us hopefully win our division and have a chance in the playoffs.
But Lewis Riddick from ESPN said, look, the Cardinals still have plenty of work to do.
Now, the question remains, what are they going to do with the rest of the roster here? They have a lot of pending free agents. They have a lot of build-out still that has to be done out there by Steve Keim, the GM, in order to get this team to truly be a contender in its own division, let alone the NFC overall. So I think there's still work to be done. I think J.J. obviously collecting $23 million in guaranteed money, I think that had a big factor, and that had a lot to do with it. But make no mistake that he is going to take their pass rushing ability in Arizona to a whole new level, along with the return of Chandler Jones from that bicep injury. And Arizona is going to be a force to be reckoned with as they continue to build out their roster.
Free agency starts in 16 days, March 17th.
Yep.
Center?
Yes. Yes. I'm really focusing on the Lindsley, the center from the Green Bay Packers, Corey Lindsley, but that's big money. Now, if they don't go big money, then I'm looking at Alex Mack, and then the Texans just released Martin. He's a Nick Martin. He's a decent center, too. I'm looking at three guys right now, Nick Martin, Alex Mack, Corey Lindsley. The prize would be Corey Linsley, but I think that would cost you, you know, that's going to cost you a lot of money. He's a big-time center, 29 years old, played at Ohio State, real solid. He could really help that offensive line. But then I think that would take up a lot of your remaining money. But, yeah, I'll say that I think that, you know, the next big move coming, I think, is going to be a center.
All right. Once all the big moves are made, there'll be smaller moves to be made as well, and maybe not a lot of money to spend. So with the signing of J.J. Watt, is that going to entice veteran players to come to Arizona? And if so, can the Cardinals afford it? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo Show on... very unexpectedly busy Monday. J.J. Watts choosing to come to the Arizona Cardinals, tweeting out a photo several hours ago. I would imagine he's here by now, tweeting out a photo 2 hours ago. Pretty convenient when the owner is also a pilot. See you soon at AZ Cardinals. He's standing next to Michael Bidwell on a tarmac with a plane that Michael Bidwell pilots. J.J. Watt is a large human being.
He's a large human being.
He's a large human being. He's a big, big dude. He's on his way here. There are reports of a dinner tonight somewhere in Scottsdale.
Ooh.
Vance and Cliff and Steve and JJ. And it's done deal. JJ Watt.
I'll have the dinner at my house if they don't want to go to Scottsdale. Coming out with Tukey. We'll have Chelsea Cook. Set up the table for everybody.
Is that you? You're offering that?
Mm-hmm.
Can I come? Am I invited or
you
am
can
I
come,
not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Am I not fancy enough for your.
Probably maybe hide behind, you know, one of the walls or something.
Highfalutin, hoity toity dinner there. I'm not just listening. I'm hiding behind and taking notes in your kitchen. Yeah, that's cool. Or maybe I could be the wait staff. You want me to come in? And,
oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, come in and serve everybody their dinner. Sure, sure. Boy, these are the. These are the fantasies that just drive you, aren't they? They really, really are. Speaking of fantasies that drive us, there's another angle to consider with all of this. So J.J. Watt comes here. 2 years, reportedly $31 million, $23 million guaranteed. As Gambo has said, let's see how that bad boy is structured when it's all said and done. But Watt deciding to come here, the shockwaves throughout the NFL. This offseason, and this is something that we have heard is going to happen from end to end when it comes to the NFL. The salary cap supposed to be around $210 million, but because of the pandemic, it's really only going to be about $182, $183 million when it's all said and done.
Yes.
And as such, a lot of good players are going to get cut.
Yep.
And as such, a lot of those players are only going to be able to get one-year deals with their new team to try to reestablish value this offseason. We all think we're going to see a lot of that this year. Neither one of us is going to sit here and suggest the Cardinals have become the premier destination in the NFL. Obviously, that hasn't happened. But if they become premier enough, then maybe they might find a player or two or three or four that are more inclined to come here on a one-year deal. On a reestablished value kind of deal, because Arizona has just become a little bit more attractive.
They have been. Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of reasons to like playing here for a player. Warm weather does matter to players. Okay. It does. You get warm weather and you know, listen, J.J. Watt didn't choose Green Bay. He didn't choose Pittsburgh. He didn't choose Cleveland. Green Bay made an offer. Pittsburgh made an offer. Cleveland made an offer. Cleveland and the Colts made higher offers than the Cardinals did. It was more money in Cleveland and more money in Indianapolis, but that's cold. Warm weather, familiarity with the staff. J.J. Watt didn't know anybody on the Cleveland staff, but he knows people on the Cardinals staff, especially Vance Joseph. But I do think that you know, when you factor in natural grass, when you factor in the warm weather, maybe you know, if there's a player that has familiarity with somebody on the coaching staff or players, that stuff all matters. Mm-hmm. That stuff all matters in deciding where you want to play.
Kurt Warner was on with us earlier, and we asked him the same question. Could J.J. Watt entice vets on one-year deals to come to Arizona? Here's what he said.
I think if you're taking a one-year deal, to me, if you're a veteran guy, you're doing it for one of two reasons. A, you feel it's a good fit where you can parlay that into another deal for a few years longer, kind of at the end of your career. Or it's, hey, I'm going there because I feel this team can win now and I can be a part of something that can win now. I'm not looking at this. I don't think any veteran's going to take a one-year deal to say, hey, the weather's great in Arizona and maybe I'll retire there when it's done. That's not what you think about as you get towards the end of your career, because you can move wherever you want. you think about what kind of impact and what kind of team am I joining. If I'm going to only join for 1 year, this has to be a quality year for either me personally or us as a team, and hopefully both, if I'm going to make that signing.
Yeah, it's there's so many factors, right? I mean, you want to go to a quality team. You want to make sure you have playing time. You want to have a chance to win. If you can combine the both of them, because nobody wants to go to a one-year deal and not play, you know, unless sure, you're chasing a ring and you're 37 years old. So you want the opportunity to play because you're saying, okay, I'm going to take this one-year deal and I hope next year I can get a two-year deal or a three-year deal. Mm-hmm. So you're just looking to find an opportunity. Where can I play? You know, can I play somewhere? So you look at these teams and you figure, okay, where am I needed? And then from that, then you factor in money, you factor in location, your familiarity with coaches. Then it could really come down to a bunch of other things.
Yeah, look, there are going to be a bunch of one-year deals this year. And nobody, at least not me, you look around this division, man, there's a lot of attractive landing spots if you're on a one-year deal looking to reestablish value. All of these teams are very good, right? Seattle seems to be a little bit of a cluster right now with what's going on with Russell Wilson. I don't
They're
know.
They're out. Yeah. I would not want to go to Seattle right now. That looks like a mess with the whole Russell Wilson thing.
Yeah, I don't feel how attractive they are anymore, even though with all the sustained success
Pete's
they've
age.
Had. Yeah, that doesn't look... The Rams look like a good place to go.
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky mentioned today that they might be better off firing Pete Carroll to keep Russell Wilson happy.
There's been a thought about that the last couple of days.
I don't think Seattle's a prime destination.
Yeah.
You know?
But, well,
the Rams, I mean, it's L.A., and, you know, it's McVay, who's a good coach.
You got Stafford, Aaron Donald.
But they're in one of the worst cap situations of anybody, the Rams. The Rams have, like, one of the worst cap situations.
Oh, sure. But again, if the theory is one-year deal and you're not going to make a lot of money to reestablish value, you might want to go to the Rams to do exactly that. If anything, that would be the team that would really scare me in the division when it comes to, okay, I've got a choice. I want to go play in nice weather on the West Coast somewhere where it's warm for a team that I think can contend, and I'm just going to do it on a one-year deal. Man, the LA Rams look pretty good. You know, the LA Chargers look pretty good, given that they've got that stud rookie and those great defensive players as well. There are going to be options. So I'm not sitting there saying the Cardinals have moved to the front of the line when it comes to things like this. But as Keyshawn Johnson told us when he was on with us earlier, clearly J.J. Watt thinks pretty highly of this roster, given that this is what he chose.
You know, it's a reflection of what he thinks they are, right? Damn what we think, it's what he thinks. But what I would say in this world of professional sports, I'd be interested, I really would be interested to really know, and we'll never know, who was really interested, right? Like, who was really interested?
Buffalo.
Because in the end, was Buffalo going to give him $31 million?
No,
23 of it guaranteed?
No, Brandon stopped short of giving him that type of deal. The GM in Buffalo stopped short of going that high.
That's what I'm saying, though, yeah. Coach. This is what I'm saying. So when you think about it, and then I had this conversation on our production call for our show tomorrow. I said, look, J.J. can still play. If you can get 10 sacks out of him, that's good, man. Important sacks, important ones. A couple bat downs, a fumble here or there. That's important. There's nothing wrong with that. But when a guy becomes a free agent and he gets out into the marketplace, oh, my God, they're lining up at the door. Yeah, for $1 million.
Yeah, that's Keyshawn trying to keep it real as best he can.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing, you know, who really wanted him? A lot of teams wanted him, but like Green Bay wanted him, but they didn't offer as much as the Cardinals did. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland wanted him, they offered more. Pittsburgh wanted him, they offered less. Indianapolis wanted him, they offered more. The Cardinals' offer was high. It was in that top three or four. It wasn't the highest, but it wasn't the lowest. So they gave him a lot of reasons to want to come here.
Yeah, and I assume that the Packers and the Steelers probably thought, okay, we can offer him a little bit less and he'll want to come here because we're the Packers.
Maybe.
Because we're the Steelers. Because he wants to come home or because he wants to play with his brother. And we've got that on our side. And at the end of the day, you know, when J.J. Watt speaks to all of this, man, I'll be really curious to see how he kind of frames up the why. You know, how does he, and he probably won't tell us everything.
No, of course, they
never do. But how does he frame up the why and what does he say? That will be certainly like hyper analyzed in terms of his rationale for making this decision. I can't wait to hear. And I don't know if that's going to be tomorrow, the next day. I'm not sure when the press conference is going to happen, when the media availability, but I can't wait to hear him in his own words explain why the Arizona Cardinals. What was it that appealed to him when it comes to this game.
Yeah, I think he'll talk about Chandler Jones. I think he'll talk about the warm weather and the grass and a chance to win here. And so I think it will be interesting to see what he has to say. And hopefully we'll know by tomorrow.
You can win a brand new Arizona Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey by texting the word Watt to 620-620 right now. W-A-T-T to 620-620. You can be one of the first to have a Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey. Text and data rates may apply. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, when looking back at the history of the Cardinals, we've been down this road before when acquiring a big-name player. In the second half of his career, how might it pan out this time with J.J. Watt? That's next. Burns and Gambo show. Time for the Coors Seltzer. What is on tonight? It's brought to you by Coors Seltzer.
What is on tonight?
When you drink a Coors Seltzer, you help save the Salt River. That's a good question. Let's find out. NBA basketball is on tonight.
I'm all about saving the Salt River.
I know you are. We've got Western Conference rivals Denver. They're taking on the Chicago Bulls tonight. That game tips off in about 15 minutes. Utah. They're taking on the Pelicans tonight on NBA TV. That game also tips off in about 10 minutes. And that's it. No Suns, no Coyotes. ASU was supposed to play
tonight. Oh, that got canceled.
1
huh?
o'clock. That got canceled because of COVID issues within the Washington State program. So ASU's very cursed year just kind of continues. I don't know. I think maybe in honor of the Cardinals, we could all watch the first episode of The Voice tonight on NBC and check out noted Cardinal fan Blake Shelton.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what he said?
What did he say?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
Not all of it. You're not.
No, I'm not. Am I not allowed to say everything that he tweeted about this?
The last bit?
Yeah, that's kind of my question right there. Congratulations, J.J. Watt, and welcome home to the Arizona Cardinals, my man. I will be fielding all inquiries on behalf of Steve Keim. Our first statement is as follows. Other team can bleep. I can't say the rest. Other teams can.
How about that? He's a happy camper right now, huh?
Apparently he is. Not a big fan of The Voice, are you, Sarah? You kind of.
I don't watch that stuff.
Yeah, not your thing.
My thing.
I don't mind. It gets the whole family in front of the TV together for a couple of hours.
Whoa. We're talking TV shows here. Let's make sure that Gamble doesn't spoil anything for anyone.
Oh, the winner of The Voice in 2021. Oh, my God. She was so great.
Some people think that Mandalorian thing was like, come on, man. That was like months ago it ended. Too soon. That it wasn't too soon. A lot of people are like, man, come on.
People that ended last year. People have so many shows to catch up on.
Okay. Did you or did you not issue a Twitter apology with a picture of Grogu from your desk?
Yeah, but I only issued the apology so I could put the picture of Grogu up there.
It was a vehicle for the photo.
That's right. The apology was so insincere. I just want everyone to know I have a Grogu doll at
home. I do. Three of them. We got three now.
Three.
Uh-huh. I'll probably have, when I get home, there's probably an Amazon package for the fourth one right
now. Great. How many Grogu dolls does a family need, really? You know?
We have three.
Well.
Are any of them for Q or just for you and Chelsea?
I think it's just for us.
Okay.
Boy, oh boy.
I like Grogu. Grogu's my guy.
Apparently.
He's my best friend.
Apparently, in fact, Gambo, his first day back here at the station, he had to change a bunch of passwords on the computer. I wouldn't be surprised if they're all Grogu-based.
Yeah.
That's his jam now. That's his absolute jam.
That's awesome.
So we went through the list in show prep earlier. Jordan, I'm going to lean on you to help me out with this a little bit. Guys who were, and I don't think it's disrespectful to call J.J. Watt in the second half of his career. He's in the second half of his career. He's on the back nine. I mean, let's just be grown-ups here and call it like it is. He's an older player. Guys who have come to the Cardinals on the second half of their career, in the second half of their career.
Okay.
And some of them weren't, some of them didn't, and we had a whole lot of in-between. Which one? Go ahead.
And also specifically, we're looking at guys that are Hall of Fame caliber.
Okay.
So earlier, I know Carson Palmer's name got brought up. No offense to Carson Palmer, but I think he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
So some of those names that meet that criteria, Emmitt Smith, Edgerrin James, Kurt Warner, Terrell Suggs, Dwight Freeney, and as Adam Schefter pointed out earlier on Twitter, I guess you can throw in Alan Faneca because he is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. Alan Faneca.
Okay.
Which one of those guys will he be? And I know that's part of one of our poll question that we
poll
have.
Question,
on the
I like the I like when you threw in the Carson Palmer one because I think you know
a good
there was some success
between.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, so like there's so many examples of older players that came here from different. I mentioned Randy Johnson earlier. Like that worked out great. Randy Steve Nash worked out great. Shaq didn't work out so good, right? Not it was so okay.
Yeah.
It was Edger and James was it was okay. They went to the Super Bowl with Edger and James, but they missed on Adrian Peterson, and you know that he flamed out after like 2 years. Like he wasn't the same player that was with the Colts. Like Emmitt Smith didn't have Emmitt Smith have 1,000 yards when he was here, but he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Time will tell, but I think that it's probably going to be, I don't think it's going to be really bad. I don't think it'll be Randy Johnson level.
Randy Johnson, when he got here, reached the peak of his career, the peak of his physical abilities, right? I mean, he was good in Seattle. He was really good in Houston for that half season. But when he got here, it was 4 straight Cy Young Awards. It was World Series MVP. He cemented his legacy as arguably one of the best left-handers in the history of the game. I would be wholly and entirely and completely shocked if J.J. Watt comes here and has his best years as a member of the Cardinals. Steve Nash had his best years here as a member of the Phoenix Suns. To ask J.J. Watt to do that, given that football is an entirely different physical proposition, as you've pointed out many times, right? I mean, it's just a brutal blood sport where guys just get beat up every second. To ask him, like, I'm looking at his J.J. Watt's best year. All right, we're 3-time defensive player of the year. He won one of those in 2012. 20 and a half sacks, 39 tackles for loss, 43 quarter. He's not gonna do that. Four forced fumbles. I like the J.J. Watt acquisition. To think that he's gonna duplicate that, improve upon that. I'll take his second best year, 2015. 17 and a half sacks, 29 tackles for loss, 50. Quarterback hits 50. He's not going to do that.
No,
but I don't think so.
But he is if he's healthy and he's playing with, and Chandler Jones is healthy, who knows?
No,
I mean, who knows? Maybe he can. I mean, it's probably unlikely that he duplicates the years he had when he was in his prime because he's 31 years old. But I don't think it's crazy to think that he could have a really solid year, like where his numbers are good. They're just really good numbers.
I don't think that's crazy either, because I think as we're going to find out in the coming days, this scheme is absolutely perfect for him. I think we're going to find in the coming days that the partnership with Chandler Jones, depending on how they deploy them, and hopefully, assuming that they bring one of their other pass rushers back, probably Marcus Golden, is going to put them in a position to be able to really just bring it from all different kinds of angles and all sorts of different kinds of pressure. I still think he can be very, very good. I just don't think he can be the best that J.J. Watt has ever been. But I still think he can be very good. I don't know. In where he falls on that list, I don't think he's going to be Terrell Suggs. I mean, I think Terrell Suggs.
No. I mean, so far, like, how about Madison Bumgarner? How, like, you know, you sign Madison Bumgarner, it doesn't work out. And I you don't want to come in. Your expectations should be that he's a good player and that he helps his team win games. Like, your expectations were with Bumgarner.
Those were my expectations with Mad Bum.
Yeah.
And so far, it's been a big letdown.
I don't think he'll disappoint. I don't think he will. Now, again, the caveat is, like, everybody, like, you know, if he's healthy.
If he's healthy. If he just
works too hard and he cares too much and he's too great of a player.
Yeah.
To, you know, Madison Bumgarner doesn't have a fastball anymore. You know, his fastball velocity's down. There's all these reasons you could point to why Mad Bum is not doing so well.
But do you remember how excited we were on the day that Diamondbacks got Mad Bum? And it was, he kind of chose them, remember? And we were just so excited about it. And, man, that seems like a long time ago. I hope this doesn't descend into that, and I hope Mad Bum does something to make it worth it. Tim Ring. I see Tim Ring. He's filling in for Luke Lipinski.
How about that? Tim Ring, ringer!
At 6 o'clock here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a great night, everyone.